Excuse me, this is the operator. This is a reminder, today's call is being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you. This is Robin Gross, and this is the meeting of the non-commercial stakeholder group, participants strategy session for the non-contracted parties house meeting next week in Los Angeles. And that is too big of a mouthful for this early in the morning for me. So welcome, all of you, and thank you for joining. And I thought we would first do a quick introduction of ourselves, since for the first time many of us will meet in Los Angeles face-to-face. We've got a pretty good-sized group coming, representatives from the NCSG, representatives from the NPOC, representatives from NCUC, as well as the commercial stakeholder group folks. So why don't we just do a really quick introduction of ourselves, you know, just very, very briefly, since we do have a lot of people on this call and a lot of things to get through today, and then we can go into some of the more substantive things. But I think it would be just good for us to all sort of, you know, quickly hear who each of us are. So that's me. Why don't we start next with the NCSG representatives at this meeting? Anybody wanted to just join in?
Yeah, this is
I'm listed as one of the NCSG representatives to this trip. I guess that's it. Thanks.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Yeah, same for me, Alain Béranger. I'm on this trip on the NCSG list on account of my role on the executive committee of the stakeholders group. Thank you.
Thank you, Alain. Other representatives from NCSG?
This is Aubrey again. I probably should have said.
This is Wilson, but I'm on the NCUC Executive Committee.
Great. Welcome, Wilson.
Thank you.
You seem to have feedback on the line. Do you think you could? Operator?
Yes, this is the operator.
We seem to have some feedback on the line here. Do you think you could help with that?
Yes, I'll try to find that line.
Thank you.
Hi, Robin. This is Kathy. I just joined.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Kathy.
Thank you for hosting it.
Who else do we have on the call with us today? How about some of the NPOC members?
Marilo speaking.
Welcome, Marilo.
Thank you.
Klaus is available and present. Thank you.
Great. Hi, Klaus. Who else do we have?
Hi, this is Norbert from NCUC in the Asia Region Executive Committee.
Welcome, Norbert.
And this is Ed from the NCUC North America. Although I'm in the at the moment in the UK.
Great. Thank you. Is that everyone on the call?
This is Mary.
Mary, but she...
Did I hear Mary's name?
Yes, that's me, and Aubrey was trying to help out because my mic was giving problems. But yeah, Robin, I'm here.
Great. And I think Bill is searching for the dial-in details, although, you know, they're on the NCSG webpage. Bill, have you joined yet? Okay, so is there anyone else on the line? All right, that sounds like everyone. So I thought we would first go into a quick discussion about sort of what our big picture issues are for this meeting. And, you know, we don't have a lot of time with the CEO and with the senior staff. And we will be sort of jockeying for that time with the commercial stakeholder group. So, you know, I kind of want to just open this up broadly about what do we really hope to get out of this meeting? What's our sort of primary goals and what will we be working towards achieving at this meeting? So I just wanted to throw that out there and see if anyone had any ideas for that.
Yeah, this is
Norbert. May I ask a question to that?
Yes, please, Norbert. And then was there somebody else who wanted to get in the queue?
Yeah, it's me, yeah. Alain.
Who?
Alain.
Okay, so I've got Norbert and then Alain. Go
and
ahead, please.
And Kathy.
And then, great. Norbert.
My question is, could somebody explain once more the origin of this meeting? I mean, how was it called and why in this composition? I think that would also help a little bit to clarify how we should approach our own response to it. Thanks.
Okay, so you're asking for clarification about which issue?
Why this meeting was called?
I think the question that was asked, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, I was having a really hard time hearing, was why are they holding this meeting at all? And I think there's a couple. I can give you my answer to that. I think there were a number of budget requests that different constituencies and stakeholder groups had put into the budget request process to hold intersessional meetings for various purposes. Some constituencies wanted to do outreach. Some constituencies wanted to have intra-constituency dialogue. Some wanted to meet with staff. There was a whole lot of different goals and objectives that the different groups had when they put these budget requests into the system. And so I think what ICANN staff did was they just sort of tried to roll them all up together and say, well, we can't give everyone their own separate meeting, but what we'll do is we'll have one meeting and we'll just try to meet everyone's needs with one meeting. So, you know, that's why there's been a little bit of a push and a pull in terms of trying to figure out what this agenda is going to be and who the participants are going to be, because all of the stakeholder groups and constituencies had different objectives and different goals when they had originally set out to hold a meeting, and so now they're all just sort of having to deal with them all being rolled up into one meeting and trying to meet the needs of all the different groups in one meeting, and that's been a bit of a challenge. And I think also because ICANN has held a lot of industry events over the years, and I know that the IPC in particular was very unhappy about all of the events that ICANN was holding with the contracted parties. And so I think this was also in response to some of the complaints that the members of the IPC had about, oh, ICANN's always holding meetings with the contracted parties. When are they going to start talking to us? And so I think it's a combination of those two reasons for why this meeting is being held at all. And so, you know, now that it is being held and agenda has been set, we're sort of trying to figure out how to make the most of it and get whatever original objectives we had originally put forward, make them either achievable or see what is achievable given the realities of the meeting that we currently have. So that's my take on why we're holding this meeting at all. It was staff's idea to try to accommodate a variety of different requests from different groups. I don't know if anybody else has another opinion or any comments on that suggestion before we go on in the queue. No? Okay. I don't hear any. So let me go on to Alain and then Kathy.
Thank you very much, Robin. This is Alain Béranger. Can you hear me properly?
Yes.
Great. I'm actually going to focus focus on the second question, if it's okay for that. How do we wish to use our time with the CEO?
Yep.
Is that okay? Well, you know, the CEO...
That issue, okay.
No issue with that? Okay. The CEO came in and made it almost a, I think, a formal list of priorities that he would be working on, four early priorities, making the mandate of ICANN clearer. And I'm going from memory here. His second priority, in no special order, was the internationalization of ICANN. Third priority was better operational effectiveness and efficiency. And the fourth was something like playing a more intensive and inclusive role with other institutions involved in the internet governance. So I think we should expect, I think, a report on these four priorities. The other subject that is dear to me, in its early assessment of the community's participation, he noted the important role of volunteers and of constituencies and stakeholder groups, and said that he thought we as a group did a lot with very little. And he made the statement that he had intentions to strengthen and assist the communities and the various members of the community with more better improved toolkits, as well as resources for carrying out their work. So I haven't seen any move on that. I've seen him hire two senior assistants and four VPs. That's a lot of money. That's well over $2 million in operating costs, and I haven't seen any kind of resources coming to the community. So that would be my interest in the time with the CEO. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Ilan. Kathy.
Okay. Different thoughts here. One is, I think, as I posted, but I'm not sure everyone saw it, I really think a key opportunity of this meeting is for us to talk to Fadi and to senior staff at a really critical moment about the three key issues, harkening back to what Alan just said, Fadi's focus has declared his focuses, and substantively those focuses are RIA, who is a new GTLD, rolling out the new GTLDs together with the rights protection mechanisms. And he is really learning what the concerns are and what we fought for, the balance and the fair use and the free speech that we fought for so long as the balance to the intellectual property rights. Those balances are in law, and we fought for them in the new rights protection mechanisms. But trust me, senior staff doesn't know any of this. So the idea that we're meeting together with the commercial stakeholder group and that they're going to have to lay out with us in the room what they want, and we're going to have to explain why that might not be reasonable. I think this is a great opportunity. In terms of outreach and engagement, I'd love to know what we asked for in the budget, because I don't know, so that I can help us support that. And I want to point out that with all this time, we've got an enormous amount of time now, 9 to 2 o'clock on the first day. Are there meetings we want to have with the BC, the IPC, and the ISPC? Are there breakouts? I can suggest some, but I wanted to see if there were any others. As long as we're all there, is there an opportunity to reach across the border and work with them on some things? And again, I've got some ideas on that, but I wanted to see if anything else was in play. Thanks, Robin.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. We do have a discussion issue later on in the agenda called breakout sessions, where I was going to ask the same question that you had just asked, that, do we have any breakout sessions? So I'm really glad you've got some ideas for that. So I'd say definitely say let's circle back to that. Anyone else want to get in the queue on this issue? What are we hoping to get out of the meeting, big picture ideas?
This is Bill.
There you are, Bill. Great. Please, go ahead.
Well, I guess I see this a little different from Kathy. I don't think we have enormous amounts of time, I mean, for me, we've got to start an hour and a half to do a NCUC meeting amongst a bunch of people who've never worked together, some of whom don't know each other well, and so on. And we're trying to do some things to try to put NCUC in a little bit better position in terms of management, growth, and so on. So for me, I think that there's a lot to do internally. I don't want to spend my time trying to have breakout meetings with the IPC during that time at all. I think that I'll have all the opportunity I need to hear what the IPC thinks about the trademarks later in the meeting, and in the evening and on the next day and so on. What I'm hoping that we're going to have some time to do is to start with a little bit of institution building and get in a pattern of cooperation and working together to get some stuff done to strengthen NCUC rather than being completely obsessed with ongoing gene and cell issues that have been around forever and will be around forever, and which already have other slots of time. So if there's some people who want to go off and focus on those things in addition to what's already in the program, maybe we could figure out a two-track way of doing it. But I wouldn't want us to totally break, you know, break from a collective meeting to go and do that at the front end. That would be, to me, pretty much ruining the purpose of being here. So that's one thing. Secondly, as to meeting with Patty, I mean, I think I would say the same thing there, too. I'm happy to talk with Fadi about the three policy issues. And we got an hour and a half, so I think we can accommodate all disparate agendas for talking to him. But I would also like us to talk with him about some basic institution building and institutional governance questions. I feel, and this has been said by other people as well, that he's not terribly clueful about us. And what our conditions are and what non-commercial interests have labored under in NCUC. Every time, just like Rob, every time he makes any reference to users being represented, he almost invariably talks about ALAC. So I think we have some internal things as well as external policy issues to talk about Fadi. And I'd like to have those on the agenda as well. So I think we can accommodate both those things. I don't see a necessary tension there. We got 90 minutes with him. After that is a lunch. And the lunch is, I mean, let's face it, people are going to be eating. So how intensive that meeting will be, I don't know. Mike, I was thinking that maybe it would make sense to try to meet as a stakeholder group at lunchtime after we've had our respective morning constituency meetings. And use that as an opportunity to come together around what we're doing, you know, for the rest of the afternoon, and so on. So, but that, so perhaps that's partially not the same as what you're suggesting, Kathy, but it's not completely incompatible either.
This is Robin. Let me just say, Bill, are you suggesting the entire morning be used for constituencies, and where would the SG have its meeting time?
Did you read what I sent, the list?
I am drowning in emails at the moment. I've read everything, but there, I don't know. Why don't you remind me what you're talking about?
I suggested that we meet as a constituency for an hour and a half in the morning, and then we could touch base with NPOC people at the break, and then we go into to get on the same page for meeting with Fadi, then we have an hour and a half with Fadi. And then we have lunch again. So I'm suggesting that basically we have an hour and a half of NCUC and an hour and a half of NCSG, well, actually 3 hours of NCSG, comprising half Fadi, half lunch.
Uh-huh. Okay. Is there anyone else who wants to get in the queue on this? Have any suggestions about sort of the big picture? How do we approach the meeting?
Can I come in on this, Robin? This is Alain Béranger.
Please do.
Yes, I agree with Bill. I don't often agree with Bill, but I agree with Bill again. on that the we need to concentrate on the constituency institutional building in the first hour and a half. Some of us have never met face-to-face. And I think the coming together and having 90 minutes coming together as a stakeholders group is very important, because we have issues that override both constituencies and we need to address. So I think that's that is a we will need the breakout rooms to do that. But I agree with this use of the morning, if my colleagues agree too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Robin, this is Kathy. I have a question for Bill.
Please.
Okay. Bill, help me out again. How much – we're meeting with FADE as a stakeholder group, right? And so the question is how much time we have as a stakeholder group to prepare for that meeting.
We have an hour and a half in FADE, and the question is how much time – do you need to get on to, we're having the meeting now to talk about what we're going to talk about with FADE. So that's what I thought we were doing. I mean, you're saying that we should spend more than 15 minutes at the break recapitulating what we're going to do? I mean, what are you suggesting?
Well, if it's a break, then we're not going to have much time. I mean, if that's what you're talking about. Yeah, I think we should meet as a stakeholder group before the meeting with FADE and talk about... Because it sounds like there are people here who are coming to the meeting for procedural reasons and people who are coming to the meeting for substantive reasons. And my guess is after this call, some of this will shake out on the list as well. And so I think for for presentation purposes, I really think we need, you know, at least half an hour, not break time, to sit down and figure out together, you know, if there's some order and priority of what we want to talk about with FADE.
Can
we do that
now?
Here, great, but I think that's a very important meeting.
We've got 90 minutes with FADE. We can do half and half or, you know, 30 in an hour or whatever, you know, I mean, whatever people...
Preparing for the meeting with FADE, not how much time with FADE, but preparing for that meeting. Is that... that's my understanding.
Right.
Can I get in the queue, Robin? This is Mary.
Yes, you're up, Mary.
Okay. And actually, I was just going to say what I think you just said. I couldn't hear over some of the noise, that we meet with FADE at 10:45. And so we actually have 9 to 10:30 to meet as an SG, I thought.
Well, Bill's proposing that time go to the constituencies, Bill and Alan. So I think that's what we're trying to figure out here, is how do we sort of proportion the time between these different goals and objectives. One of the challenges of this meeting from its very beginning.
Can I make a point here, Robin? I'm not sure Mary is right on the agenda.
Okay.
I'm looking at it right now, Ellen. It says we're dividing Postel A and B into CSG and NCSG. CEO or dialogue with each SG for 90 minutes. And so the question, I guess, is whether he's dialoguing first with us or with CSG. And I can't remember where I got the impression that he's dialoguing with them first.
CSG is first on the discussion, the draft I'm looking at. CSG is from 9 to 10:30, and NCSG is from 10:45 to 12:15.
So if I can go back to the question that Bill and Elena are raising, we've got 1.5 hours. Maybe we can do a half-half, but I do think that before we leave today's call, we do have to make a baseline call as to what we're going to talk about with FADE so that we can use that 45-minute time to actually spruce things up. And on that, I would ask, going back to Kathy's question, if there are substantive sessions during those 2 days being devoted to who is RAA and so forth, do we want to say we're not going to talk about those with FADE and we'll talk about other things? If so, what are those other things? If not, and we do want to talk about who is RAA, et cetera, will there be time to talk about the other things? I'm not sure we have clarity even on that basic question.
I think you're right, Mary, that we should talk about what we're going to, what we want to discuss with FADI, because in the materials that I've seen, it looks like ICANN is proposing the discussion with FADI be about outreach. And, you know, frankly, I'm just like, that's fine, but there are other very pressing issues that I think if we have a few moments of FADI's attention, of concern to us that we would like to raise, that we would like to discuss with him. And so, in fact, maybe this is a good segue into the next issue on the agenda, which is, what do we want to talk to FADI about, and what are the issues? I don't believe that we're only, we must stick to the issue of outreach. I don't think that's ever been a proposal. So I think the floor is wide open for us to propose what we want to talk to him about. So what do you guys think?
Can I comment?
That's what we're doing.
This is Aubrey.
I hear Aubrey, and then who else wants
and
to get in the queue?
Kathy.
Bill.
Kathy. No one else? Okay, go ahead, Aubrey.
Norbert.
Okay. Norbert. And Norbert also wanted to be in the queue. This is Aubrey. I actually think outreach is a terrible thing for us to waste time on with the CEO. I also think spending much time talking to him about RAA, who is, and what have you, is not the best use of time either. Because, first of all, that sort of admits that we think he is responsible for RAA and such. I think it's much more important to have talks with him about policy and implementation split, where it is their responsibility to do stuff and where they need to be working with the community. I think it's good to use who is RAA and such as examples and to get our viewpoints sort of put on there. But I think to spend our time talking to him about these endless policy things when really the problem is that they are jumping into policy when they should be keeping their hands off it. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Aubrey. Next I've got Kathy and then Norbert.
And Bill.
Actually, I think Bill was in the queue, so let me defer to Bill, our chairman, and or one of our chairs, one of numerous chairs on the call, and I'll follow Bill and then Norbert, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Kathy, go ahead.
Okay. Did I just disconnect myself?
I hear you.
Okay, good. Okay, so I wanted to make a proposal of time, because I do think that our call, I think we are the second meeting with the CEO, which is good, and I think we were given that so that we could have some initial, because we wanted some initial organizing time. So let me put out a proposal. Between 9 and 9:45 or 9 and 10, we meet as constituencies, and then for 9:45 to 10:30 or 10 to 10:30, we meet as a stakeholder group before the meeting with FADI. That way we come in also having met each other as a stakeholder group and maybe finalize what we'll be talking about there. Robin, I don't see anything here that says we have to talk to FADI about outreach. Maybe I'm missing it. I know there is an outreach session.
I read it somewhere, you know, and I kind of laughed when I read it. Like, yeah, that's what we're going to talk to FADI about. But so I'm just saying, I think that's what they expect. They think they're hoping we discuss. And I imagine we'll come up with some other topics here today that we'll then send back and say we'd also like to discuss these topics. And I think what the issue that Aubrey's raised about implementation versus policy is a really good issue, because it does touch on all of the policy issues that we work on. It's such a broad issue. I think that's a good idea. Okay.
Wait. In terms of outreach, I wouldn't dismiss it completely, guys. We do outreach. You guys do it better than anybody, and we need resources, and there's nothing wrong with asking them for it. So if we can figure out what resources we need, going to the top and asking them for it is a really good idea. We don't have to spend lots of time on it, but I wouldn't discount it, because I think it'll be even better than asking senior staff. And I'm going to disagree with Aubrey. I understand how the policymaking process is supposed to work. Trust me, I get it. But I also understand FADI is more involved than past CEOs, and he's if we don't tell him what our concerns are, there are things that are happening now that are untraditional and new. Every CEO is allowed to do it, but this expert who is working group is untraditional and new, and I really think that this is a moment to let Fadi know early in his agenda with an activist CEO, and he's going to be involved, what our concerns are. If we don't teach him, no one will. And he's listening, and he cares. So I agree with policy and implementation, but, of course, I think what I want to find out is if he's going to be at the RAA who is in new GTLD sessions, and if he's not, I think we should be talking
about
it.
He's not.
Then I think this is our opportunity to touch on these with him.
Okay. Thank you very much. So next I've got Norbert and then Bill, and then is there anyone else who wants to get in the queue on this issue of how to use our time with Fadi? Okay, Norbert, it's you.
Okay. Yeah. I think it would be good if we try to ask Fadi also a kind of basic question. How does he understand ICANN in terms of our geographical diversity, while some other sections are not very diverse? And I say this is an important question also when we think back of the ITU conference, where this whole question of U.S., North America, Europe domination was an important issue. And in ITU conference, there was a question, what about the geographical diversity of the different positions? And I think in this respect, I would also try to ask Fadi, how do you see ICANN in terms of these diversity requirements, which we have been implemented while others have not? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Norbert. That diversity point is a good one. And I think it might resonate with Fadi, at least, you know, with the public message that he's tried to send. We'll see about actions as time goes forward. Bill, you're next.
Okay. For the past 3 months, I've been involved in this preparatory group with the people from the other stakeholders, like Alan and Robin. And in that time, I have had to spend a lot of time saying that, no, we actually want time to meet together. When the IPC was telling us we don't need to meet together, who cares? So I wasn't expecting to come on this call and find out that people don't think we should spend time meeting together as a constituency. Let me reiterate that we just had an election. Some of us are spending a whole fuckload of time trying to get this thing off the mat and get it restarted. We're trying to establish new habits of cooperation on things that people have never cooperated on. That requires actually taking some time to talk about this stuff. And I would have liked to have had more than an hour and a half. I'm not terribly excited about cutting into all that time in order to talk about the same old GNSO issues amongst ourselves before we have the same conversation with Fadi. I think we know what our positions are on who is. We know what our positions are on new GTLDs and most points and RAA. I think that there's people on this call who are perfectly prepared to lead 15 minutes of good conversation on each of those topics with Fadi. And so I don't really see why we need to have a half hour of NCUC and NCSG meeting together to figure out how to talk to Fadi. I think we can agree the agenda here and agree leads on the different points and just go do it. I think that's sufficient. Alan wants time with his constituency to try and do stuff. I would like time with the NCUC EC, which has never met each other, to do some stuff. If other people are not interested in those things, then they can find something else to do maybe. But we need time, okay? So that's the first point. Second point, it is perfectly feasible in 90 minutes to cover both the institutional dynamics issues, and that includes the kind of point that Norbert made, and others that we talked about prior to this, about how we compare with the other stakeholder groups or other constituencies, et cetera, and why he needs to work with us and cultivate us and be aware of our situation, et cetera. I don't mean in a whining way, but purely factual. And Ed was gathering some information about that. There's no reason we can't spend, you know, a half hour on that, a chunk of time on the outreach stuff, which I don't dismiss. Some of us care about outreach and strategic engagement, have been raising with the board for years, and are involved in the group just trying to get that off the mat, too. and it's something that I do think Bobby cares about, and I do think it matters to ICANN. And then, thirdly, do the GNSO stuff. And we can spend 45 minutes on that. So we can spend 15 minutes giving him an earful about how he's only heard one side on trademark clearinghouse, if that's what you want to do, in 15 minutes on RIA, 15 minutes on whatever. That's fine. So there's enough space there, I think, to capture all those agendas. And I don't think he's going to be around in the afternoon for the staff-mediated fun fests with the CSG on those points. So, I mean, if Kathy, you know, really wants to get in his ear on those points, I think the safe thing to do is to do it then, because they kept telling us how busy Fadi is. And at first he was only going to give a speech to us at lunch and then go away. And we said, no, hold on, that's not right. And so it was because we were insisting on Fadi time that he changed his schedule. But I don't think he's going to be there in the afternoon. So I think if you want to talk to them on RIA and who is and GTLDs, let's go in with leaders on each of those points. That's what I was suggesting on the list. And I said, why don't we have people? You know, it shouldn't be hard to figure this out. You know, Kathy can lead on who is issues. Mary, Wendy, Robin, you guys are all deep in this stuff. Let's just figure out a division of labor who's leading the conversation and go in and do it. And on obvious issues, too, I think we should be able to fit that in there. We got an hour and a half.
Okay, so as you know, we hear more of, we've got all sorts of competing agendas, and I understand NCUC wants to focus on the NCUC agenda, but there's also other people and other agendas, and some NCSG members would, I think, myself included, would like to spend some time on policy development. And so that's why we have to find time for all of these different goals. It's not only the constituency building goal is the only goal that we have to consider in this. There are also GNSO policy development goals. So, you know, I hear where you're coming from, and I think, you know, it's important that we absolutely find time for constituencies to meet together. And as you know, it's something that I fought for in this group. But I also fought for the NCSG having time to meet together because we need to prepare on the issues that we care about. So, you know, please try to have some understanding that NCUC constituency building is not the only goal for people that are participating at this meeting, and so we have to. Room for all of these.
And I'm not suggesting that we can talk about these issues.
Okay, so Bon, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I think we need to do the constituency building, but I think we also need to spend we need to do the stakeholders group institutional building, and we only have 45 minutes, and if we spend that time preparing for our talk with Fadi, that we're not going to cover other important issues for the stakeholders group. I see two of them which affect our efficiency. One is that we should have a coordinated approach on our budget request, on our additional budget request. In other words, we should talk about what the stakeholders' fair share of the additional budget request stakeholders group should get, and how do we split those requests between NCUC and BOC. And the other one is we should have a review of our performance as a stakeholders group. How are we working as a stakeholders group? How efficient is the management? How efficient is the executive committee? So those are important issues, and I think that if we ask, because in the afternoon there are sessions slots for RAA, WIS, and GTLDs, I think. So I think the outreach issue is much more important to NPOC members than to others maybe, and I think that if we get Fadi to respond in terms of his internationalization priority as well as being more participative and inclusive, with other institutions in the internet governance, we will get answers that we can only get from him. So I'm not that worried that he won't be in the slot D, E, and F in the afternoon. I'm not as worried as what others are saying here. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Ilan. Are there other views on this? Please, there's lots of people on this call that we haven't heard from yet. Please speak up. Some of the topics that have been raised are, we've heard outreach from ICANN. Norbert suggested diversifying ICANN. Avery suggested the issue of policy versus implementation and where that line is drawn. What other suggestions? Because we've got a lot of different suggestions here.
Hi, Robin. This is Ed. I think in some ways we can combine the outreach and diversification ideas into one block.
I'm sorry. The number you have dialed is not in service. This is a call from B Mobile.
Somebody's phone had an issue there.
We're still here.
Okay. I'm sorry, Ed. Go ahead. Did we lose Ed? I think we might have lost him. But I think he made a good point about combining diversity and outreach. In some ways, because one of the things we want to do with the outreach is to diversify the viewpoints and the types of participants that we typically get in ICANN meetings. So I think he's right that they are linked, and that's a good way to approach that. Any other thoughts on this topic of how do we use our time with the CEO? I don't feel like we've really come to some kind of a resolution here. We've got a lot of different ideas, and we're back to, sort of competing agendas, and we're going to have to all make compromises.
Robin, this is Kathy.
Kathy, yes.
No, I'm with Bill on this one. I think we've got 90 minutes, and I think we've hit a range of topics that all make sense. Now the question is ordering them. And I wonder, let me propose something and see if it makes any sense. One is institutional dynamics, who we are, why we're important in the ICANN process, what someone else said, why he needs us. As Bill said earlier, not necessarily passion-driven, but factually based, what we do with an ICANN that's unique. And then go into geographical diversity, who we are, who we represent, what we need in order to better outreach and engage others so we can continue doing what we're doing within ICANN. And then go into the policy issues, of which I will include policy implementation and versus implementation as one, because just for ease. So we can talk about policy implementation for 10 minutes, RAA, who is, new GTLDs, each 10 minutes, not focused on the whole debate, but focused on our unique view, what we bring in. So for who is, it's clearly privacy, right? Data protection, privacy, not just of individuals, but of organizations, because their privacy is also grounded in a free speech and freedom of expression, right? We don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but, trying to figure out how our concerns, RAA, other people would have to help me define one or two things that we've really honed in on that are our concerns coming in from a registrant point of view in this, and just make sure that they're covered in whatever the next stage is and that he knows and that they're forefront of his mind. So anyway, that's just a thought. And 90 minutes is great.
Yeah, no, thanks, Kathy. I think that's a good suggestion because I think we've got time. We can fit all of these goals in there. Did I hear somebody else?
Yeah, this is Aubrey. I actually think that is a workable scheme, and I think if there is a lead-in speaker for each of those that has about a minute or two's worth of introducing it, that then opens it up to that 10 minutes, I think it could work.
Yep, I think that's right. And I mean, that's sort of the approach I was thinking for at least the next day's session, when we have the specific substantive topics with the senior staff members, was that, you know, we would have someone sort of prepared to go in and kick off the discussion and sort of introduce the issue. So that, you know, kind of ties in to this as well.
It's also what I proposed in the email. So.
Well, is that Bill saying "I told you so"? God, I never hear that.
You think it's a revelation?
Just okay. Any other thoughts on this? I'm sorry. Somebody trying to get in?
I was just trying to say that when Bill talks, I don't hear him at all, even though I turned my volume up to max.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I wonder why. Hmm. Okay.
Anyway, can I just tie this off?
Yep.
The institutional dynamics bit, so who are we, that comes first. That could be 20, 30 minutes. Then we do the ICANN in the larger environment, outreach, strategic engagement issues that he and Tariq are very interested in. And then we spend the last 40 minutes. You can do policy dynamics. If you want to talk about implementation and concerns about staff and other kinds of issues around that, and then finish with the substantive issues. And so why don't we just come up, we could do it on the list.
Say that again, Bill. Sorry, I missed that because I was typing. Say that again, the substantive side of it.
Well, as you're saying, I mean, if you have concerns, if you want to talk about the dynamics of the GNSO, the implementation issues. I don't know whether you want to get into the whole question of whether GNSO reform and whether the House thing works, or whether we want to propose to do something about that. But I mean, you could do a bit about the GNSO at the meta level of, you know, how's the GNSO working, and then you finish with the issues and you go through each of the issues. And as I said, it shouldn't be hard to identify a lead on each of these things. Mary worked on the RAA stuff. I know that Aubrey paid a lot of attention to it. I know Wendy did. Who is? You're all on this stuff. I put some ideas in the email if you want.
It's Klaus. I would like to volunteer to talk on the outreach and regionalization stuff.
Great.
Okay.
Who was that? That was
Klaus.
Great.
And outreach and diversity.
Great.
Okay, any other thoughts on this? Because it sounds like we're all sort of, we are coming to a resolution and an agreement on how to move forward with this.
Yeah, this is Alain.
Yes, please.
I agree with where we're going. But talking about diversity, I can tell you that we really have some big challenges. I just found out that Olivier Kouami was refused a visa to come to the U.S., and it's how are we going to build the diversity in our communities if we constantly have this issue of the refusal of visas? It was a huge issue in Toronto, so not just a U.S. problem, a Canadian problem, but we need to find a way to give heads up to some embassies that there are important international issues in the U.S. meetings, and that they need to be a little bit more helpful with visas. So there's a diversity issue.
You're absolutely right. I'm so disappointed to hear that Olivier can't come, and you know the visa reason is just, I mean, that's just, you know, that could so it should so easily be avoidable. ICANN should be helping to get these visas, and you know, especially cases like this, they should have, you know, some kind of diplomatic liaison who can help facilitate something, these more difficult visas.
No,
I'm really disappointed by
that. I made that recommendation.
Has anybody gone to them and demanded that they help?
They got the usual letter, I can support letter.
You know what, though? I would go to ICANN and say, look, ICANN, we need this. Go to take it right to Fadi, and, you know, we need some help with this. And maybe they can pull some strings and get that visa approved.
Okay.
That is discouraging. Okay, so I guess we're good on this issue of using our time with the CEO. Let's move on to the review of the specific LA meeting agenda. So let me pull that up here. And this is the one sent out by staff on January 17th, which as far as I know is the most recent one. Okay. So it starts off with 8 to 8:30. They're going to do the shuttles from the hotel, and then from 8:30 to 9 is the introduction and welcome breakfast with from Akram and David Olive. Okay, and that's going to be an overview. And then the work begins, if you will, from 9. So it looks like these are the SG roundtables with the CEO. So according to this schedule, the CSG meets with them 9 to 10:30, so presumably that's the NCSG can do what it pleases with that time. And then from 10:45 to 12:15, that's when the NCSG meeting is with the CEO. And so we were talking about splitting up, how do we split up that time between 9 and 10:45 between the constituencies and the stakeholder group. Did we come to a clear, was it 9 to 10 with NCUC and 10 to 10:45? Do we need a full 45 minutes to prepare for?
I don't.
What was the actual resolution on this issue, guys? Or maybe we didn't come to one, of dividing that 9 to 10:45 time slot.
Well, I want to reiterate, we need to talk as a stakeholders group, too, not just about preparing for the FADI meeting, unless we can find some other time after that.
Yeah.
We do have other time. We have the lunch to talk about things like that. We also have a session at the end of the 2 days together.
Yeah, I just don't know if 45 minutes is enough for a constituency chat and 45 minutes for a stakeholders group chat. And granted, there are other slots, but they're going to be hard to organize.
There's an hour at the end of the 2 days for individual community wrap-up discussions.
When we talk about the NCSG stuff that isn't really, you know, has to be done before this meeting.
Cool. So that makes sense. This is Kathy. So constituency meetings in the morning, maybe 15 minutes before we meet with FADI just to introduce everybody before we go in, and then stakeholder groups at that later time.
Okay. Do you think 15 minutes is enough before... with FADI?
I think we just organized it. So as long as people volunteer and we circulate, you know, we know everybody who's leading. Does anybody disagree? It makes sense to me.
I
listened carefully to what Bill was saying.
We all do.
And it makes sense.
Except for the first 5 times I say it. But yes.
Sorry. A little more pleasant attitude.
I'm in a very pleasant attitude, actually, at the moment.
Good, because I think, I'm writing this down, so please tell me if I've written this down wrong. We've got 9 to 10:30 with the constituencies, and 10:30 to 10:45 NCSG, quick, get our ducks in a row before we talk to FADI. Okay,
If we want to knock off the constituency a few minutes earlier, we will. We're going to be in rooms near each other. It won't be hard. If people feel like they're done at 10:15 or 10:20 or 10:25, then we'll do. I mean,
okay.
We don't have to have a treaty for this.
And for what it's worth, I'd love to, you know, if we can make introductions on all sides, that we go into the meeting with FADI actually knowing who we're with and having met everyone.
Yep, that makes sense. Okay, and then we've got the lunch break and community meetings, it says, from 12:15 to 13:45. Lunch selections available in the ICANN Cafe. Okay. and this time can be used for individual community meetings. All right, so it looks like this is a lunch break, and if we want to schedule something in this time frame, we can. Any suggestions, any wishes for this?
NCSG.
Sorry, Robin, can you repeat your question?
Yes, the time slot between 12:15 and 13:45, which is the lunch break and community meetings. Is there anyone who would like to use this time for anything specific? I know it's, you know, not easy to hold meetings during lunch break, and, you know, frankly, that's not my first choice. If there's another time that isn't being used for a meeting and I have a meeting, I would rather use that time than the lunch break time, but it is available to us, so I'm raising the issue. Does anyone want it? Does anyone want this time?
I've got something really controversial.
This is Aubrey. I would like to leave it open for an ad hoc discussions of whatever we need to ad hoc discuss at lunchtime.
I like that proposal.
Yeah, except we don't control the seating arrangement, so we, you know, it's very hard if somebody from another constituency comes in and plops itself next to you and talks about something else. It's very low quality time in terms of getting substantive discussions going.
Yeah, that's sort of why I'm thinking we don't really want to plan any, you know, important substantive discussions during this time frame. And I think Aubrey's suggestion of just sort of the ad hoc is the way to go.
I've got a really radical thought, guys, because it is low. I mean, it is socializing time. What, and I know it would floor the other guys too, but what if the assembled chairman of this call invite the assembled chairman of the ISPs, whatever, the ISPs, the BCs, and the ISPs to a table to have some lunch? They're all going to be there.
The leaders, good idea.
And the rest of us can be mellow. But you guys sit down with them and break some ice, and I can give you, I mean, there are some non-political things we may agree on.
I think that's a suggestion.
Make sure they all have sharp knives.
Make sure they don't have sharp, right, yeah. No daggers.
Oh, bummer.
And then that may lead the way to other people sitting down with other sides. Because if you guys do it, then there's some people I can sit down with. If we all, you know, and we can start some cross-community dialogue. Just a thought.
Radical suggestion. Sort of, you know, reaching across the aisle and taking the initiative to try to get at least some kind of positive energy going. I like that. And I will take you up on that.
Hooray.
I don't think they're interested, but I'll do it if somebody wants to organize it.
That's their call, not mine.
They made it pretty clear that they don't care about that kind of stuff.
Would you like me to organize it? I can try. You know, they can always say no.
No, I was thinking that we use the time for NCSG to talk about the kinds of concerns that Alan was raising and so on.
But it's such a low meeting time, the lunch break time. I mean, who knows, you know, it's just not good quality meeting time. And because there are available meeting times, why don't we do the NCSG meeting time during actual meeting time as opposed to lunchtime?
I was thinking both. But if people want the chairs to get together, propose it. I do not sense much interest on their side.
Well, then they can say no, and that can be on their head.
Okay, Bobby, do you want to organize it, or would you like me to? Probably better coming from you, but I'd be happy to if you want to.
Well, it's your idea, and, you know, so I, yeah.
Okay.
I like it. Okay, so then let's, are we settled on the lunch break? Shall we move on to the next issue, the ICANN stakeholder engagement dialogue, which is 1400 to 1600 in the agenda. It says, how is or can staff address new strategic challenges and expectations, dialogue with the community about expectations, community members and staff gather for a discussion, community initiatives and opportunity for collaboration and support, including Beijing plans. After introductions, introductory comments from each constituency on their engagement plans and expectations will be followed by dialogue with staff. Okay, so it looks like The constituencies and the stakeholder group will have some discussions with staff. And I think here, you know, is where we can talk about our need for support, our need for help with outreach and help with the conferences that we try to hold and the events, and even things like the membership database that we've asked ICANN for support on. I think this is the block of time that is set aside for discussing some of that stuff. I know there is a specific budget discussion later on, I think.
Yes.
But I also think this is a little bit broader than just the budget, but just, you know, the overall, how do we handle working together and these kinds of expectations. Okay, so is there anyone who has some thoughts on this topic or would like to sort of kick off the discussion on this topic either today or also with at the intersessional next week? Any thoughts?
This is Bill. I am sure that Alan and I both would like to participate in this conversation and have been already in the various groups, the outreach group and so on. So that would certainly make sense. We want to talk with them about resources and support and things like that. But I think you should too, Robin. And if maybe if Ed, for example, who's going to be doing outreach stuff, want to weigh in a bit here, that'd be good too. And whoever on MPOC's side. These issues, again, Fadi's keenly interested in and won't be around for this discussion. So that's part of why it would have made it make sense to have a little bit of it in our time with him.
Great, thank you. Else? Alana, you must have some thoughts on what ICANN staff can do to help with community expectations and the, you know, providing support and that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, this is Alain Béranger. I think if we could start with the membership application process as well as the membership relation database, members database, that would be the top priority, because it's really a needle in our side, and stops the executive committee members to use their time more useful issues like policy and strategy. So that would be the first priority. I think the second one would be to do a little bit like the business constituency does and get some financial resources for a secretariat or a piece of a secretariat. So for instance, that we could have a part-time person paid to do the link with the liaison with the membership database. I mean, if we started with those two, that would be a great start.
Alan, this is Bill. Can you clarify? When you talk about a membership database, what is it that you want staff to be? You're talking about the NCSG membership database?
That's yeah. Right. That's right.
And what would you want the staff to be doing with that?
Elon, can I clarify this, because Bill doesn't know what we've been up to on this, and so I think I can explain it.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely, Robin. Please go ahead.
NCSG has made a request to ICANN staff for some assistance on a membership database, because, as you know, the whole process of membership applications coming in, them getting approved, moving on to constituencies and all these different, the chain, the flow, if you will, of how this information goes. Once one applies to becoming a member of NCSG, and then they, you know, get accepted, and then they have to check in every year to renew their membership, so they're eligible to vote, and all of these things are sort of sticking points in our database there, or in our work progress. They're creating sort of blockages, and so we asked ICANN for an integrated membership database solution to sort of help facilitate this process, and so we're not always having all these database problems that I know you have too with NCUC. And so we had a discussion with staff about this a couple of weeks ago, and they said they would help us, and they said, you know, this is something that I think NCSG is not the only group within ICANN that is going to need this, but other constituencies, other stakeholder groups are also going to need some kind of database like this. So while we were the first to bring it to their attention, they realized that it's something that other groups, and I think NCUC, would need also. So currently Ken Bauer is working on coming up with a proposal for us. They understand that we need this, and they're going to help us to build it for us. So he's working on coming up with a proposal, so we should have, hopefully soon, an integrated membership database. And I don't think it'll only be something just for NCSG. I think it'll be available to NCUC and NPOC and probably other constituencies as well. So sorry for that long explanation, but I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I didn't know about it, and neither did all the people, I guess, who were in the new e-platform group for NCUC who've been talking to each other about how we can manage our database, and various proposals are being made, and I know that access to the database, copies of it have been moved around in the past couple of days, and people were working on it, so we had no idea.
Well, so great, now you know. Tools are on their way of being created to help.
So I think one thing that we need to work on is information flow. So when Alan talks about internal NCSG operations, I think that's the kind of thing that could be on the agenda too.
Yeah, but I think if NCUC members want to know what the NCSG Executive Committee is discussing, it's easy to look at our list, and this has been an issue of top priority on the Executive Committee list. So, you know, at some level, if you want to know what's happening in the other forum, maybe you better go check their list. And, you know, you can't always expect that it's the other person's responsibility to tell you everything that they're doing.
This is Ed.
Also, though, I was aware of representatives on the EC.
Exactly. I would have liked the representatives that we have to let us know.
Well, go reprimand them. That's what I would do. No, but actually, in fairness, this is just came up. This was just something that we discussed with staff over the holidays, and so, you know, you probably haven't seen them yet, or had, you know, it just hasn't come up. This is a new thing.
I'm just saying people are spending time because
Great.
They didn't know
that. This is Alain. May I point out that it has taken a lot of time on the executive committee to agree to have a stakeholders-wide database, which would have two sub-databases, the NCUC and the NPOC. So we don't need to duplicate work. And the very driver for getting help was not just the database, it was the membership application process, where it was volunteers like Brendan and others like Robin and Milton and I and Klaus, where we have to do an amazing amount of legwork. And I think the very experienced people we have in as volunteers should not be spending their time on administrative issues. They should concentrate on strategic issues and policy issues, and I think that argument has been bought, if I hear you well, Robin.
I think so, yeah. I think, you know, staff understands that this is an administrative burden for us and it's keeping us away from doing the policy work that we're here to do. And so, you know, they're working on coming up with a solution. And, again, it won't just be for us. It will be for other constituencies and stakeholder groups as well, which might take a little bit more time, unfortunately, in tailoring the solution because, you know, it'll have to meet a wider set of parameters. But I think, you know, that's only fair. Okay, so was there any other points on this issue, the IKN stakeholder engagement dialogue?
Well, I wanted to make a point. I hope it's in order, but we've often put outreach as an important issue for NPOC, and I wanted to say very quickly, it's not that we don't underestimate the importance and the mandate of policy in the GNSO, but we feel that it is also a matter of understanding how those policy impact on developing countries where the digital divide is much more felt. So we're just suggesting that when we contribute modestly right now to policy, we're also interested in the impact on those policies have on development, and that's why outreach is so important to us. So, for instance, in Beijing, we will be doing a workshop on the impact of new GTLDs on NGOs, and so the outreach is about impact on development, but it's also about dissemination and advocacy. So I just wanted to take this minute to say that. The other thing, Robin, is I wanted to wonder if you could stay online to discuss the Olivier Visa case to see if we can quickly get somebody to replace him. So just an administrative matter.
Sorry, what do you need? What should I do?
Just stay on the call so we can discuss the possibility of what we need to do about Olivier.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Anyone else on this, or should we go on to the next issue, which starts into a little bit more of the substantive policy issues?
Robin, I have a question before we leave. Has anyone ever offered us staff to help with comments and things like that? On the administrative side, organizing things, submitting deadline stuff. I mean, ALAC has tons of support on that.
I know.
And I think CSG might have some too, but I'm not sure.
We've never made a specific budget request, as far as I'm aware, for, you know, staff to help us with comments and that sort of thing. I could be wrong, though. I don't know. Does anyone else have any different recollection?
Okay, just wondering. Thanks. Something for the future.
Yeah, let's think about that. Okay, so the next issue on the agenda is the RAA negotiation briefing and discussion, the Registrar Accreditation Agreement negotiation. And looks like Margie Millam is going to be giving us a staff briefing on the topics and the status of those negotiations between ICANN and law enforcement. Again, this is an issue that we care a great deal about. We know it's an issue that the CSG cares a great deal about. So both of us will want to be using this time to help the staff to understand what our viewpoints are, what our concerns are. Let me sort of open this up then on this topic to the membership here for input on getting this discussion topic started in Los Angeles next week. I know we've got... Wendy and Mary and Kathy and Avery and a number of NCSG members have participated in these on this issue over the years. So anyone, but especially those folks, please speak up and let us know how we should kick off this discussion in Los Angeles. Is Wendy on the call?
Robin, this is Wolfgang. First of all, I'm sorry that I'm a little bit late, but now I made it, so that means I will try to get the information which I have lost. You know, with the RAA, I think the issue from Toronto, which was discussed also in our group, was how to deal with the Article 29 Working Group letter. In the GAC, they made, you know, it was confusing because the U.S. government more or less played it down and said, you know, this is not relevant. And we had a discussion in the GNSO Council that in case I can move towards a differentiated approach, that means to give European registrars other agreements than American registrars. There was an outcry from the American registrars this would undermine, you know, equal competition rules. So, and the U.S. is pressing, watering this down. But from a European perspective and the discussions I had after the Toronto meeting with Europeans is, no, this is very serious. And the Europeans, just in the process of redefining their privacy directive, you know, will insist that this will work. So that means we have to take a position. And my personal position is that I would be take the letter from the Article 29 Working Group very seriously. And more or less I understand the arguments behind this, and we should make a clear statement in favor of the stronger privacy norms in the EU.
Great. Thank you very much, Wolfgang. And thank you also for reminding us about the Article 29 letter that was sent to ICANN last summer, warning them that what they were trying to do with respect to these RAA negotiations was actually in violation of European privacy law. And, you know, ICANN and law enforcement agencies have sort of tried to brush that aside and say, well, we don't really need to deal with that. But you're right, they do need to deal with that. And I think it's important to remind them of that. And that's a great suggestion for sort of how we would propose kicking off our time with staff on this issue. Any other thoughts or comments?
This is Avery. One thing we need to be prepared to answer, though, is the immediate retort they can come up with now. But the EU said it didn't matter, and obviously I don't believe that is the case. But that is the automatic response we get. So if we're going to bring up one letter, we need to be ready to sort of say, yeah, but they were talking out of the top of their head. And or some other part of the anatomy, and go on with that, because that is a problem that now it's sort of been tainted by the EU disclaimer. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery, and you're absolutely right. That is the knee-jerk retort that we're going to hear. But I think we can be prepared to answer that. And Milton Mueller did take this issue up to the public forum and address it with the board in where was our last meeting? Wherever our last meeting was. So, you know, Milton did take this issue head on and said, look, Article 29 is the national privacy authorities. And they're the ones who say what their law allows and doesn't allow, and, you know, not the European Union. So, you know, they, like you say, they are talking out of turn and off the top of their head and on something that they're really not able to speak on. So I think we need to go back and prepare for that answer. You're absolutely right. Any other thoughts on that?
Kathy.
Yes, Kathy, go ahead.
Okay. Hey, quick, two different discussions, and we're preparing for both of them right now. One is a discussion with Fadi, the other is a discussion with staff. Can I urge that the discussion with Fadi not be adversarial? I don't think we have to argue with him, and I don't think he's going to be arguing back. I think it's about the big picture. It's about the principles that we believe in. It's about where those principles come from, and the Article 29 letter is very good at where those principles come from. We're not making this up. It's grounded in law. And it's not just law in the EU. It's not just the EU data protection commissioners who comprise the Article 29 working party. It's South Korea. It's Canada. It's Japan. It's U.S. laws. I think that's where we are with Fadi, is the big picture, and making sure that things that we're concerned about have been included. Debate it with Margie, if she's the staff who's working on it, or with Samantha Eisner, and the others will be in the room with, you know, when we have the briefing in front of, you know, with the CSG and the others. That's where we debate it. This, I think, is much lower key. So let me suggest another thing with the RIA is Fadi has something in his mind, and I don't know what it is, but he's thinking about the rights of registrants, not registrant rights the way ALAC talks about it, but the rights of registrants, and are they sufficiently protected within the RIA? The answer is no. And so I think we should try to figure out what's in his head on this so that we can help him amplify the concerns because, of course, you know, the registrants have been ignored in this whole process. Thanks.
Thanks, Cassie. You know, I don't even think Fadi is going to be in the room for these drill down substantive, like specifics of substantive issues. I think that's just going to be the senior staff, but not the CEO. I could be wrong, but I think really our only time with him is the time in the schedule that says, you know, the CEO is going to be there.
You're right. I'm sorry. I was thinking also of the RIA session with Fadi, but that'll be high level, and this is the more detailed one. Sorry about that. Good.
But I think you're right that when we speak to Fadi, you know, we don't want to necessarily debate, be adversarial. I just don't think that'll be the session. Okay. Any other thoughts on RAA? I know that if Wendy and Mary were on the call, they'd probably have some things to add to this as well. And maybe we can hear from them on this in email over the next days. Okay, hearing none, let's go on to the next issue, which is the Who Is Initiatives briefing and discussion. Staff briefing on Who Is Initiatives and status, followed by community staff discussions. Okay, so the Who Is issue. Do we have anyone who would like to sort of kick us off on this and get the conversation started on Who Is? How about you, Kathy? I know you've worked on this for like ever, so.
Okay, I'm tired of Who Is. Can we just remove it from the agenda? No, obviously we want to know who the expert working group is, who's coming on, who's being appointed, who's going to be there, who's deeply knowledgeable. You can't come into the Who Is, and this is just my bias, without, you know, at least 10 years of experience in it, because it's complex. You need a lot of background, and you can't dismiss it easily as, well, people just have rights under the data protection laws. No, they have rights under the free speech laws, too. It gets very – so who's coming in with a deep knowledge base on the issues and the rights, and what's the scope? How far can we change? Who is? And how far is Fadi – you know, how far is staff thinking about this? How far can we go in changing? Because right now the protocols are up in the air, the whole directory service itself – which is, you know, the information you make available appears to be up in the air. There's a number of studies that have been funded at over $400,000 that have been reported back, and no one seems to be following it. We've got thick Who Is. There's a morass of things all going on at the same time. And, you know, who can sort this out, and how are the privacy interests being protected, including for political speakers and dissidents and things like that? Anybody else want to add to anything? Is that kind of an overview?
This is Wolfgang. No, you are absolutely right. And we have turned us in circles since 15 years now. So because this was, if I remember back in 1999 or 2000, when Milton pushed for the tired approach, you know, that you have certain rules, nothing has changed. So this is... we should, you know, probably here raise a very fundamental question whether, you know, we would want to achieve something, or, you know, we just, you know, want to keep as it is. So I'm totally confused, but I also agree that you have to have somebody who has all the knowledge. So it's a very complex issue, and I think we had a lot of people who are dealing with this over the years. Avri was one of them, Milton, and you yourself and others. And I think this should be part of our priorities, because this is really a big issue, and, you know, with more new TLDs, this gets even worse, and with more people having interest to have free access to private data, you know, this is unacceptable from a user's point of view. Sure.
Thank you very much, Wolfgang. Were there any other thoughts? Any members from NPOC have any thoughts on this issue, the who is issue?
This is Alain. The only person that's on the working group from NPOC is Maribel. I don't know if Maribel is still on the call.
May I speak?
Please, go ahead.
Yeah, yes, Marilo speaking. I'm on the call. The thing is that Avery and Kathy and some of the group are so experienced, and I do belong to the working group, but I'm still learning a lot and reading a lot, and I'm just rather have, I mean, Avery's in the group too, and she's much more experienced, and she knows a lot, and she's entitled to take the lead on this during the meeting, and Kathy too. I mean, Kathy just said it. I mean, data protection, I mean, it's such a huge topic, and there are so many, you know, so many ways of working on it and approaching it that I can be there and listen and maybe make some comments, but I definitely don't feel like I can take the lead on this.
As this is Klaus, I would like to say something on it.
Please, Klaus, go ahead.
I just want to reiterate one point Kathy made at the beginning. This simply is not a subject for amateurs. For example, we really need to get that message through that this is something which is very, very serious and needs to be in the hands of people who 10 years is the absolute minimum. And, for example, I'm terribly interested in the WHOIS issues, but I'm just content myself to sit on the sidelines for the last 5 years and learning every email and everything again and again and again. I think one of the major points, and I think that's also the decision of MPOC, is that we have to make sure that we have people in this group and the decision-making process who actually know what they're doing. I'm not making it up as I come.
I'm sorry, Klaus, I couldn't hear you very well. Can you repeat the last bit?
I just think that it's important that we make sure as a group that we get the message through, that we get people in the decision-making process who actually what they are talking about and have a hell of a lot of experience, not just people who come through the corner and make it up.
Sure.
Great. Thank you very much, Klaus and Marie-Laure.
But, Robin, can I say something to Klaus and Marie-Laure, which is thank you guys for doing this. And, Klaus, if you've been reading every email for 5 years, you're an expert now. Those of us who have been doing it for too long have gray hair and we're getting tired. New people doing this is key, too.
May I add something?
Please.
Sure.
But from what I've been reading, I can see that we do really agree on most, most major issues there about the data protection, and we share the same concerns. So that's
great.
Important.
Anything I can do to help, any background, any history, let me know. It's got to be in a file here somewhere.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Anything further on who is? Do we feel like we're prepared to go in and discuss this? I wish Wendy were on the call because I know she's worked on this issue quite a lot over the years, too. Okay, not hearing any more any more thoughts on who is, let's move on to the next topic, which is the new GTLDs, which is pretty broad here. It just says staff briefing on new GTLD status followed by community staff discussions. So is there anyone who would like to volunteer to kick off the discussion on new GTLDs with a perspective on this?
This is Wolfgang. You know, I have 2 points. One is that we see, you know, ongoing delays, you know, for this and that. And we want to have, I think we should ask for very clear information, you know, what are the next steps and timelines and, you know, how I can guarantee that the original timetable, you know, is implemented. And a second point on my agenda is the I've questioned the decision to give priority to the IDNs. It looks very, very democratic to give, you know, the first priority to non-ASCII, you know, strings, which looks as a contribution to further internationalization. But if you look into the applications, then you see that a lot of the applications for IDNs comes, you know, from VeriSign and other very established big registries. And so that means this is not really a big contribution to internationalization. This could be also lead to strengthening of, you know, probably disparities in the competition. And the other point is that there was a call from the group of so-called geographic top-level domains to get also priority because they are working in the public interest and they are, you know, sponsored by public authorities like city councils and others. So this are, you know, is a special category. And this was ignored. This was rejected. So I think here is a problem and we should at least ask for clarification why they, you know, made this decision to give priorities to IDNs only and why they ignored the call for the GTLDs, which are probably also in the public interest and even more in the public interest than, you know, application for the book in Chinese characters by VeriSign or by somebody else.
Great. Thank you very much for that perspective, Wolfgang. There's definitely a lot of different issues to be touched upon on new GTLDs. And if I could just throw out one that we haven't talked about in this call, but I think we might want to raise in LA, is the role that the GAC is playing in objecting to and possibly or perhaps probably preventing TLDs for, you know, sensitive reasons or reasons that are not based in law but seem rather arbitrary to the outside. And so, you know, there has been some concern about, you know, the 50 objections from the Saudi Arabian government to domains like .baby and things like that. And so maybe that we might want to talk about remind the staff, if you will, that there are free expression rights that people have, that when we did the new GTLD policy, I don't know, 6 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever the heck it was, one of the guiding principles that we, non-commercial users, forced the GNSO to include in its set of recommendations, although you'd never know this today, is that freedom of expression rights of registrants are not supposed to be curtailed by these policies, which you'd never know with all, you know, with all the information that's supposedly available on new GTLDs. They sort of forgot this particular principle, which is in fact part of the new GTLD recommendations that the board approved. So, you know, just reminding, just kind of pushing back a little bit on all of these objections and sort of censorship policies that we're seeing with respect to new GTLDs being proposed, I think might be another useful comment to make And we might even have some agreement, some alignment with the CSG on some of this. Any other thoughts? Anyone want to violently disagree with me? Or not violently, just, you know. Any other thoughts?
Robin, it's Kathy. I'll violently agree with you and use other words, balance, fair use, that the CSG can't disagree with. There is a balance. There is protection for fair use in every set of trademark laws around the world. And I think we should remind staff, particularly all this new staff, that we've fought as much as we could for balance in these things. And if they adopt some of the proposed changes, they're disregarding that as well.
Yeah, and are you also referring to, like, the straw man proposal and with respect to new GTLDs and sort of these last-minute changes to the balance of the original proposal?
Of course.
Yeah, I think we should bring that in, too. So, again, this is a huge topic, and it's only an hour on the agenda, and you can bet, you know, 45 minutes of that we're just going to be read the briefing document by staff. And so, you know, we'll need to make sure we can get to all these issues.
And one more is, how are they going to look at the comments on some of these new proposals that are coming through? Are they going to put them on a scale and weigh them, or are they going to look at where they come from? So if 90% of the comments come from the intellectual property constituency and everyone else disagrees, I'd like to know how they're weighing that.
Boy, I could not agree more. I've been, you know, wondering how they're going to do this as well because, you know, the comments are what they are. They totally reflect what we saw in the GNSO battles, and nobody, you know, changed their positions. And so what is staff going to do with these comments? Are they going to allow them to change the policy? And I think this is the place to ask staff this question. Anyone else? Avery, you must have some thoughts on this. No? Okay. All right, so shall we move on to the next? Okay, and then we shuttle back to the hotel at 6:30. And then there will be a reception at the DoubleTree for community attendees, staff, and other local guests invited by the community. And let me circle back to this. Let me just sort of put a pin here in this in the reception, and we'll come back to this as in a couple of minutes. I just want to finish out the agenda very quickly, and the tough pieces are over with. But we do need to discuss the reception with some length. Okay. So then Wednesday, January 30th, let's see, the first session is at 9 a.m., Dialogue on ICANN and the Internet Governance Landscape. Community members and staff gather to discuss community initiatives and opportunity for collaboration and support, like Wicket evaluation, I'm not sure what that means, IGF, et cetera. After introductions, introductory comments from each constituency and or SG will be followed by dialogue with staff. Okay, so are there any volunteers to kick us off on the discussion of this topic, dialogue on ICANN and the Internet Governance Landscape? This was a topic that staff came up with on its own, I think.
This is Wolfgang. Bill? Go ahead.
Here, Bill, is that right?
Yeah, this is not an issue that staff came up with, Robin.
Okay,
An issue that a lot of people have been very involved with for a very long time.
Great. Okay, so yes? I've got Wolfgang and I've got Bill, and who? Anyone else?
Maybe Charles wants to say something at the end.
Was that Elon?
No,
that was Klaus.
Klaus. Okay, great. Wolfgang, Bill, and Klaus. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think this is a great opportunity, you know, to do something where we have something in common, you know, with ICANN stuff and the NCUC, because we will have certainly a common position, you know, how to deal with the Wicket follow-up and the preparations of the World Telecommunication Policy Forum and the World Telecommunication Development Conference and the WISIS 10 Plus and the Working Group on Enhanced Cooperation. These are three strings, you know, which are all you know, will continue in 2013 and 2014, and we should really use this opportunity to say, okay, here we are sitting in the same boat. You know, we have to find also innovative ways of and procedures how to cooperate, because ICANN staff and the ICANN leadership here should get the full support from our constituency and to say, you know, we are fighting in this intergovernmental processes for a free and open internet and for the interest of individual internet users and non-commercial users. So this is really a good opportunity to be very constructive. And here we have also a chance, you know, to build bridges to the commercial stakeholder group, because more or less what I have learned from the WCAG is that this specific details, in basically there is a common approach between the private sector and the civil society, as it was in WCAG. And Bill was there, Afri was there, so probably we are well positioned and that we can participate in the discussion as insiders. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Wolfgang. Bill?
Yes. For a long time, I know that in the meetings that NCSG had with the board, I kept raising questions with the board about how they're approaching strategic engagement in the geopolitics of internet governance and why they think it is that so much of the world has such a terrible view or and so on of ICANN and why there are these threats. And I kept getting back really dull, disengaged responses from certain board members for quite some time under the previous regime. And now it seems to me that in the past half a year there's been a significant change in this. It's clear Fadi is thinking about this. He's hired people like Tarek, who are very deeply enmeshed in these discussions. We had a good workshop with them in Toronto. There's clearly, as Wolfgang suggests, a lot of possibilities here for being on the same page with senior staff and CSG and leveraging that. I would like to push them continually, as I have in the past, on engaging the community more through the strategic whatever it's called, strategic partnership or engagement group in the board and so on, because I think that they have still tended a little bit too much to think that the board, the staff will go off and come up with all the answers here. And I don't think that that is an effective approach. I think that's reflected in the way they thought about the Speakers Bureau. They need to leverage the community. There are a lot of people with expertise, and so I think we want to talk about the approach there with them. And I think there will be interest in that. So I think myself, Wolfgang, Avery, others who are working in that space can easily, you know, lead off from a civil society side on this part of the discussion.
Great. Thank you very much, Bill. Klaus, you're up.
I agree with the previous two speakers, but I would add that as we can see at the moment, we are trying to find established and old solutions for a problem or a situation which really demands new thinking and new models in how to talk, cooperate, and implement these things. We had some substantial discussions inside NPOC about these things, and we are coming slowly but steadily up with some very concrete and possible solutions, and I think we might have a chance in Los Angeles to informally talk about it. I'm trying to be a little bit cautious about hanging it out of the washing line and saying this is the way how to do it, but I think there are some substantial contributions up in the pipeline, and Los Angeles will be one of the places where we can talk about it and refine it and see if it actually works or not.
Great. Thank you very much, Klaus. Yeah, it sounds like we've got a lot of things to say on this and a lot of people who have done a significant amount of work in this space over the years, so this should be a really engaging and interesting discussion with staff. Anyone else want to get in the queue on this one? Okay, hearing none, let's move on. We've got a break, and then we've got the topic of community needs. What does the community need to fully and effectively contribute to policy development, outreach, and engagement? Community ideas and opportunities for collaboration. Okay, this one is kind of nice because it seems to sort of throw it out to us to tell ICANN what we think we need to be more effective in policy development and outreach. So let's make good use of this time. What do folks think? Anyone want to kick us off on this topic? What are our needs for helping to be more effective on policy development, outreach, and engagement?
This is Bill. I'll just raise one point to start. I imagine that here, if not earlier, we will be hearing from CSG about their proposal for staff support. And it would be good if we had some clarity what our thinking was on that point. I think in NCUC, when the issue came up before, a variety of different views was expressed about whether having staff perform any function at all would somehow compromise us and turn us into the company union or something like that, and others who felt that there was a place for it. I think either way we should come to a clear view, because I'm sure as soon as we get there, Maryland and others will be asking us what we think about it.
Yes, Bill, I think you're absolutely right. And so thanks for reminding us of Maryland's proposal and how that fits right in here, and that I completely agree we should have some discussions among ourselves and come prepared with it, with a response to, what level of support do we want from staff that will enable us to get our policy work done more effectively, but doesn't influence the policy directions that we take. Any thoughts on that?
I will just start by saying I do not share the fear that having a staff person to provide some support will in any way lead to us becoming the company union, or that our positions will be terribly maligned or misrepresented. I cannot imagine this particular group of people allowing something to go out under at least NCUC's name, and I'm sure NPOX feels the same way, that they don't agree with. And if we weren't happy with the qualitative representations being made by any staff members and any kind of policy issues, I'm sure we would make that very clear. So I really think that objecting at the level of principle before we have any experience and know that it's even a problem is not terribly helpful, personally.
Yeah, can I
any other thoughts, reactions? Elan, is that you I hear?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Alain Béranger. I agree with the last two speakers and would support a request on the behalf of the stakeholders group to get a policy officer to support us. A policy officer can present the facts, and we wouldn't ask her or him to come up with the policy, but she would inform the policy dialogue. So again, getting ICANN resources to help us out with the legwork and allowing the community leaders to concentrate on strategic and substantive issues. So yes, let's. I support Bill and Wolfgang in their position on this.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. So it sounds like there is some desire to request some staff support for assisting in some of the more secretarial, administrative things that we have to do. And I think Marilyn is going to come in with a proposal. I don't know the details of her proposal or the extent of it, but it sounds like there may be some room for collaboration on this
This is Aubrey. Can I speak?
Please, Aubrey.
Okay, I tried to speak before Alain jumped in. I disagree with both Alain and Bill. I think getting bogged down in having staff doing things for the constituencies and for the stakeholder group is a bad idea. And it's not a fear of things I haven't seen. It's a result of things I have seen in my many years here. And they have a job to do. They have a need to get things done quickly and in a particular way. And while it can be helpful, I think in the long run, it's not a good idea. I understand that the current leadership wants it. And, you know, obviously I'm not going to be able to get in the way of that. But it's just something I caution strongly against it getting addicted to.
Thank you very much for that perspective, Aubrey. I think that it kind of helps us to focus in a little bit more on, you know, well, what are the things that the specific tasks that we think maybe we could offload onto staff that wouldn't create a problem? Are there any? Or, you know, is any staff reliance really seen as problematic? Because I'm sort of thinking, well, maybe there are some things they could help us with that wouldn't, you know, encumber the internal decisions and of the working group. But so I don't know. I was just trying to think if there's a compromise that can be made. Because I actually see both perspectives. I mean, I kind of two minds on this, so I'm just wondering if there's some place where we could compromise.
May I come in on this, Robin?
Yes, please. And then is there anyone else who'd like to get in the queue after Alain?
Kathy.
Bill.
Kathy. And then
yeah,
Bill. And then Wolf. And then did I hear Klaus? Kathy, Bill, Wolf, Dave. Pardon me? Okay,
and then Aubrey after all of them.
Okay, so Elan's got the floor, and then we've got Kathy, Bill, Wolfgang, Klaus, Aubrey. Am I missing anyone? Okay, Elan, please go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, I better be brief. I'm sensitive to the dilemma and the pros and cons. But I think we have an experienced group, and it's for us to negotiate a job description with roles and responsibilities that ensure that complete direction of the work, of the support work, by the executive committee members and other leaders. And and the second perspective I'd like to point out is that not all volunteers are created equal, and some have less time than others, and others have more time than the average. So if we want to increase the participation of volunteers and the number of volunteers, we shouldn't bring them in to burden them with policy analyst work or secretarial work or IT, you know, website management type of work. We should. So those are two issues. The two ways for us to think about this. And I think I'll let the others speak. Thank you.
Thank you, Alain. I've got Kathy next.
I think there's lots of stuff support staff can do to help us, and I'll just list a few. But and I know don't everybody yell at me at once. But as has been said on the call many times, we say the same thing again and again and again. So putting the first draft of something together and cutting and pasting things we've already said, especially if it's a proceeding that we don't have the bandwidth to otherwise participate in, somebody can do that. A staff member can do that. Put it together, then we edit it. As long as it's our words to begin with, I don't see a problem. But on some of the outreach and engagement, we're going to start having a lot of people coming in, and they're not going to know what we've done. They're going to have basic questions on basic things, staff can help point them in the right direction to read background materials, maybe even to prepare a few quick go look here and go look there to find, you know, some of the explanations on whatever issue they're concerned about. Maybe even fielding a first round of questions. There's all sorts of things that an administrative layer that we don't, so that we can work, as I think Elaine said, on strategic and policy issues, I think is great. Provided we oversee everything, it's more hands. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. Next is Bill in the queue.
All right. I've been trying to find the email that I sent some time ago listing things I thought somebody could do, but I can't. Too much email, you're correct. In any event, I agree with Alan that we are, in fact, functioning adults and should be able to oversee a staff member. If we don't like what they're doing, we will let them know. We will let whoever they report to know, and we will get adjustments made. So the idea that staff will somehow worm their way in and take over and take us in directions we don't want, I just don't buy it. I think that we will surveil them closely and try to establish a good working relationship. And if they're not doing exactly what we want them to do, we will make it clear that a change has to be made. So, you know, until you try it, you know, you don't know. But I think that I'm confident that we can manage that effectively, number one. Number two, I think there are a lot of functional things in terms of just sending out reminders, making sure that people stay on top of public comment periods or the need to submit things, et cetera. Getting stuff onto the website that we don't always do. I mean, it's easy to say, you know, well, members, if they cared enough, we should just do it. The fact of the matter is that for 10 years, we've struggled to have people do that in NCUC. And I'm sure for NPOC it's the same thing. You know, it takes a lot of volunteer labor to do all these things. You need some division of labor. You can't expect all the people who are trying to perform the kind of core functions to also do all the CRUD work too. And that's where having a staff member to help unburden them a bit can be useful. So I don't really think that's problematic. I think that, you know, it may be the case that what CSG has in mind is different from what we might want, and there, then we have to negotiate. They unfortunately have not really shared much information. I mean, Marilyn sent a brief one-paragraph thing to the planning group saying this is what she wanted. We'd be hearing more. We didn't. So I don't really know exactly what they've got going on their side, and I guess all will be revealed in L.A. But at the level of principle, I would think that there's grounds here to find some commonality with them and try to, I would like us to be able to do things like have better publicity materials and so on. And all that, I think you can't get that done with just relying on the volunteers. I think we should have an open mind about this going forward.
Okay, thanks very much, Bill. Next is Wolfgang.
Yes, you know, I remember a similar discussion around 7 or 8 years ago in ALAC, in the At-Large Advisory Committee, when I can ask it, you know, how we can help. And the reply from the regional at-large organization, it was in particular about the WALOS. And I remember the discussion in the European regional at-large organization when Annette Mühlberg was the chair of the ALAC. Say, okay, give us a budget that we can plan our own activities and can probably commission some own studies, organize workshops or something like that. But all this resulted in more stuff for ICANN. And this disabling the regional at large organizations, because, you know, all the money went into ICANN stuff and not into the constituency or in this case, the regional at large organization as such. And this is still the case today in ALAC. When the regional at large organizations want to get some budget where they can do what they want to do, then there is no readiness, you know, to give them the money directly. The only offer they do is, you know, we hire a new staff member, and then you are more or less in the hands of the ICANN staff. What I've learned is there are a lot of very good people in ICANN staff, so it's not any criticism against ICANN staff. But it would be also a good idea to have a double strategy, to say, okay, here is what we expect from ICANN staff members, and if you give us another liaison or another supporter, this is fine. But here is also that we want to do something on our own, and this has to be resourced. Also, we need some resources to do the work we have to do to make our contributions to the ICANN community as a whole. And, you know, one very concrete example is the conference we are planning to organize, not in Beijing now because this is too late, but in Durban and Buenos Aires, then next year in Singapore and London. You know, I would prefer that we say, okay, you know, a big help would be if we, if you reserve a certain budget for these activities, and it's the it's our own stakeholder group or the two constituencies who then can make the decision, you know, how to spend the money and not to be too dependent from just staff support. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf. Gang. Next is Klaus, and then Avery.
I would like to agree with Wolfgang, because the thing is, if we agree what Marilyn wants, basically we give ICANN staff a justification to put on a layer which is outside our control, and we actually have no influence about what's going on. And anyway, it's very dangerous to say let's give it a try. Because if we give it a try, we create a fact, and then to roll it back if we don't like it will be nearly impossible. So what is the alternative? And I think as well to follow the chat, is I ask Afri what the alternative, and the alternative is quite simply that we ask ICANN for a sufficient fund to build up our own secretariat, and I think that's the best way to go. Okay, there's another fight, another delay, but I think that actually will give us what we need. Thank you.
Thanks very much for that, Klaus. Avery, you're next.
Okay, thank you. This is Avery. And it's become much easier for me because I agree with much of what Wolfgang and Klaus just said. First of all, you know, I think in terms of keeping our minds open, we all have to keep our minds open, not just those who disagree with some of you. I think that there are things that I can do. I think, you know, Robin started this by saying, where's the compromise point? And I think certainly in things like translation, in things like printing, things like that. But beware, if they don't want to print it, it'll get delayed. Those who give information decide which information they give first, which information they give easily. As someone who's been on a secretariat, I know that
Hello?
Oh, Avery's lost.
Did we lose Avery?
I think
70, 80.
Wait, I sort of hear her for a moment. She was there. Avery, I can't hear you.
I'm still here. You can't hear me?
I just heard you now.
You can't hear me now?
Now I can hear you. I don't know what happened there, but for a moment.
Oh.
Didn't know, but I was also
So certainly, I think I was talking about compromise stuff.
Yes.
Certainly, there's things that can be done, but not anything contentful. And, oh, yeah, the last thing is, Klaus said it, we should have people to help. We should raise money in some way. Perhaps ICANN is the place to raise it, but perhaps there are also other places to raise it. We also shouldn't be completely financially dependent on ICANN. If they disagree with us, they cut funding. It just happens. So don't be completely dependent on one funder either. Thank you.
Thanks very much for that, Avery. I started to jot down some of the points that people made for where we might be able to find a compromise on, you know, what are some of the things that staff could do for us but wouldn't compromise our own policy integrity. So I wrote down things like publicity materials, translation services, printing, getting stuff on the website, helping with comment periods, reminding us of when they are, and maybe doing some cut and pasting of past statements to get initial comments going. That one might be a little more controversial, frankly, because that is pretty content-based. But these other ones seem, you know, translation and printing and things like that, getting stuff on the website, that I think that would be enormously helpful and maybe our compromise place where we wouldn't be relinquishing any of our responsibility with respect to policy guidance, but could take advantage and definitely be more effective on policy because our time isn't spent on things like getting stuff on the website. So are there other things that people think we can add to this list or other comments on this issue?
This is Bill. I just want to underline something. I think that everybody would like to have a situation like what Klaus suggested, where we have the free rein, and we're given the resources, and we get the kind of person we want and so on. Whether that's really going to prove possible, obviously, is a negotiation point. And so if we are strongly of the view that that's what we want to do, we should go in there with a coherent approach of saying that. I think the main area that there seems to be some tension here is about whether staff can do any substantive work. And when I hear Avery and Robin, it's no, not at all. I find this to Kathy. She was saying there's no reason why they couldn't do some initial drafting, pulling together old statements and pieces of what we have in other places and so on. And that's what I meant by we could see how that goes. I mean, we could try to develop a framework that would guide that, and if it doesn't play out correctly, if they were to behave in a way we didn't find acceptable, then we would say, okay, that's not going to be something that we do. But for the purely administrative kinds of functions, and I'm sure if we spend some time we can list them all, I wouldn't think that this is problematic. And that would certainly be good to unburden the members from.
Great. Thank you, Bill. Anyone else want to get in on this?
Robin, it's Kathy.
Yes, please, go ahead.
I agree with everything Bill just said. I think it was great. I just wanted to add one more experience, and maybe ICANN staff is learning as well. On the Who Is Review team, we worked very closely with Olaf Nordling and particularly Alice Jansen. And at the very end, when we had lots of edits coming in, we wrote the report, no question about it. We all wrote it as members of the Who Is Review team. But at the end, it turns out a bunch of us had real-world deadlines. And the editing pen was held by Alice. And we're talking edits coming in from a dozen people, and she did a brilliant job. It was very neutral. It was very objective. You know, we could see all the edits. You could see everything. But that final administrative piece of putting it together, she did, and it was great. And it saved us and allowed us to make a deadline. So I just wanted to add, I think staff is learning how to be involved with policy neutrally, fairly neutrally, as well. It's a learning curve on both sides.
Thanks, Kathy. If I could just sort of add to that, I guess it depends on the particular individual member of staff that you're dealing with. And, you had a great neutral staff member, but, I know that others have, myself included, have had experience where the staff member holding the drafting pen fought tooth and nail to misinterpret, misconstrue, accidentally omit, et cetera, the non-commercial viewpoint from drafts over and over again. So, it kind of comes down to the particular staff member and their own.
In this case, they'd be working for us. Hopefully they'd learn our position.
I also remember when ALAC was first hiring their first...
Not a chance that a staff member would work for us.
But listen, though, I remember when ALAC was hiring the first staff member for ALAC, and ALAC said, we like person A. We recommend person B. And staff turned around and said, no, we're going to hire person B. So, to what extent they would be working for us and to what extent they would be working for ICANN ultimately comes down to where their paycheck comes from. And so, the ALAC experience, I've seen staff be the controller and not the community members. And maybe we would put up more of a fight than ALAC has.
That's a good bet.
Can I comment on this, please, Robin?
Yes, please.
This is Alain Béranger. I just coordinated an exercise in NPOC where we used the services of ICANN for editing and artwork. And by editing, text editing, and for a the preparation of a outreach plan for our constituency for 2013, and I found that I was able to deal with a central person that was, I'm trying to remember, named Janice. And I expressed the need to Janice, and I then got the work was accepted and assigned to somebody that I
the number you've
from communications, and it was I did not have the experience that I had that you just invoked, Robin. I was we kept in charge of the content and the substance. Of course, it's not so difficult. An outreach plan does not have a lot of nuance necessarily. But it was a service orientation, and the turnaround was very quick and pleasant. And the fact was that if I hadn't been happy, I could go back to Janice and say, hey, this didn't work out, and this was wrong, and so on. So I think there may be a shift. There may be a shift in comprehension of how the staff must work with the communities. I guess we'll have diverse experiences, but at least the service is available right now. It wasn't a year ago.
Great. Thank you very much, Ilan. Anyone else want to get in the queue on this one? Community needs? Okay, hearing none, let's move on to the next issue, which is the GNSO Toolkit Phase 2. Actually, I'm going to suggest, and anyone tell me if you disagree with me, I'm going to suggest that we go back to the outreach event, because I think that's more important than the things like the tool reach and the wrap-up session and whatnot. And we're already over time here, and I'm sorry for that, but we have also had a very, I think, productive and engaging conversation, so I hope you'll all forgive us for going over time. Does anyone object to us going to the outreach event right now, and then we can come back to these other issues that aren't really quite as important, in my view? If anyone disagrees, please say so, and I'm happy to continue as we've been going. Okay, hearing none, let me go back to the outreach event, because I would like to spend a little bit of time talking about that. All right, so we've heard from staff that they're planning a cocktail reception on Tuesday night at the DoubleTree for the participants of the non-contracted parties house meeting, and then any members that we may have in the LA area, as well as any potential members, folks that we might like to get engaged in ICANN policy development. This outreach event is a good opportunity for us to engage with the local non-commercial community in the Los Angeles area, which is huge, and try to bring in some new members and get some new faces. We can invite them to this cocktail party. Now, we have to RSVP because space is limited, but I wanted to see if anyone has any suggestions for contacts or places that we should look for maybe finding some folks to invite who might be interested in further engagement with us, and they are located in the LA area. Any thoughts? Well, there was a couple NCSG members that we have that are law professors in the
LA area, and I was thinking that they might be a place to reach out to. Law students are often interested in, among the geek culture folks who are interested in some of the issues that ICANN might be engaged on, so perhaps reaching out to some of the local law students through some NCSG members in the area. Also, if there are any organizations, non-commercial organizations in the LA area that people would like to become engaged, you know, we can invite them and try to engage them in ICANN policy development. Anyone have any thoughts on that, suggestions?
Good idea.
Robin, this is
yes.
Ed. I've reached out to a number of people at USC, and the problem we have with the USC people is the location of the hotel and the time. It's an hour commute at that hour. So
yeah.
We should be focusing on UCLA and Marymount for the academics.
Okay, that's good to know. UCLA and you said Marymount?
Loyola Marymount's law school is about halfway between SC and Culver City. They can go shoot right down Wilshire. It's not that bad. So UCLA is only about a 10-minute drive, and they
okay.
can take this road. I just don't know anybody there, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm trying to rack my brain as well on these two schools. I'm not thinking, although we've got, like I said, members at Loyola and USC.
I have a suggestion, perhaps. Are there any active members on the NCSG discuss list that live in the LA area? It would be a nice gesture to invite them.
Yes, it absolutely would. And I sent out a note onto the NCSG list a couple of days ago inviting our members in the LA area. I haven't heard back from any, unfortunately. You know, short of just going through the membership list and picking out the ones who live in the LA area and sending them an individual email, I'm not sure how else to suggest that they come other than using the NCSG list. But we can certainly reach out to them again and put more reminders on the list.
Robin, how late will ICANN accept invites? I'm going to be on the SC campus very early Monday morning. I can sort of wander around and talk to people.
The unit you're attempting to reach is either switched off or out of the service area. This
it looks like we've got a cross line. There we go. Your question, how long will they take the RSVPs? I don't know. I'm guessing pretty late, but I would suggest we confirm with Rob Hoggarth or Glenn, who are organizing this, you know, to try to get an idea for when they want a final headcount by. But I'm also willing to guess that, you know, we could probably get people in up until the time of, because I don't think we're going to have too many invites, you know, given the timing. We just got this confirmed like 8 days before the event, and, you know, it's not easy to plan something like this in 8 days. So I don't really expect that we're going to be reaching the upper limits of our capacity. So I think we would be able to get folks in until pretty late, up until the event, but we should confirm this with Rob Hoggarth.
I'll spend Monday morning then trying to dig up some bodies in person.
Great. Thank you. All right, any other ideas on outreach, suggestions for who we should reach out to? All right, not hearing any. We will go with that and try to get some people interested on the main membership list as well. So let's go back to the agenda, and the next one was the GNSO toolkit phase two. What's working, what's underway, what's still needed? Any ideas on the GNSO toolkit? I know things like the conference calls and the Adobe Connect and a lot of these the facilities provided by ICANN were included in this toolkit, and you know, for those of you who haven't been around ICANN for very long, these are new, and isn't this great? We can have these conference calls, and you know, NCUC 4 years ago did not have international conference call capability that we didn't have to actually pay for, which, you know, made it really difficult because Skype was not very reliable. So a lot of these things that ICANN has provided in this toolkit have actually been very helpful, and you know,
we take for granted now, but we didn't have them a couple of years ago. So, but there must be more. There must be things that are still needed and can be improved upon. I think translation services is one. You know, the new CEO talks about outreach to new non-English speaking parts of the world, and I think a way to make that happen is to provide translation services. And I know it's expensive, but I think it would go a long way. That's just one idea. Anyone else have any?
This is Bill.
Bill.
If you go back to the process that they did in developing the toolkit, they were asking what we were wanting, and actually, as I recall now, we didn't really provide a lot of input on that, which was kind of unfortunate. But they were wondering if we wanted more support for face-to-face meetings, for example, as part of the toolkit. They also asked about, teleconferences, yes, we already got that. Support for policy development process by drafting materials under constituency direction and for constituency consideration, tracking deadlines, summarizing policy debates. This is a point we talked about before. But again, these things, they viewed that as part of this toolkit discussion. Preparing minutes of meetings, which we've got now, assisting volunteer leaders. So, I mean, I'm looking for this list of different elements that they put forward. And a lot of these are, I think, clearly very useful. But others, they dovetail with the larger question of staff and whether we want to have a staff support or not. And I think so, you know, those two discussions have to be viewed as part of the same thing. They tend to take a fairly technical and dry and dull approach to the toolkit discussion, which can be a little bit maddening sometimes. But we should really just, you know, be working from where do we want to go, what are the transaction cost type of barriers that get in the way of us working more effectively, and what do we need, and then say let's build that into the toolkit. And if you call something a part of the toolkit's already an approved, agreed initiative, and so folding it in there makes it easier for them to digest it if it's viewed as some freestanding new activity.
That's a good point. So some of these requests we should fold into the GNSO toolkit menu.
Can I?
Okay. Anyone else?
Yes, Robin. This is Alain. I think I sense a sense of comfort on the part of ICANN if they provide us with what I call in-kind services. In other words, we receive a service, they pay for it. And there are limitations to this type of funding. It's of course, it's easier for them to account for it and to control the nature of the expense. But on the other hand, when I look at the budget request template for additional budget requests for 2014, there is a question that asks what other funding and sponsorships have you been able to acquire? And so it gets down to the kind of fundraising that, for instance, Avery has mentioned on the chat on this call here, that we need to fundraise other sources than ICANN to maintain a balance and an independence. So I find that as the constituencies and the stakeholder groups grow into size and complexity, that it is very, very hard to have that kind of small core funding, or I would call it pin money, that allows you to hop on a plane to Washington and or organize a small meeting, and that would require in cash contribution. So, and I realize this is a big step to make because it there is less control on it on the basis of ICANN. And just a thought that if I know that this would be helpful to some of the things that NPOC are trying to do, it may be helpful for others. So that's just a thought that I would like to submit for comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who'd like to have some comments on this issue?
Robin, this is Bill again. If I could I just remembered something else from the multiple discussions in the council about the toolkit when it was being developed. The staff came in one day with a study showing what the levels of participation across constituencies were in various GNSO working groups and other GNSO activity, including council activity. And they kind of documented that we and the ISPs were sort of really at the bottom of the barrel in terms of our level of engagement. And one of the suggestions I remember, I think it was Margie probably, asking was, would we want, for example, some help in terms of background materials, reference materials, to encourage people to participate in working groups? Because one of the things that we always have a problem with is that people who are new, in particular, look at working groups and it's kind of like, you don't really understand if you're not a relatively new person, you know, how do you get involved in this? What's all the background on each issue, et cetera? And again, we don't want them going too far into the framing of the content in ways we might not like. We can alter or change anything they provide. But would we want support for things like that, for example? Provision of materials to facilitate and encourage people to participate in GNSO-related activities.
Right. Okay, thank you. Anyone else want to get in on the toolkit? Looks like we've got a lot to talk about, staff, on that topic. Okay, so the next issue is the CEO's speech during lunch. And I think it's going to be more than a speech. I think he'll do a Q&A. And so, again, it's our chance to bring up issues with the CEO, although in this forum it's with the entire group, not just the non-commercial users, but also the commercial users. So are there particular issues that we would like to raise or comments that we would like to raise in this during the lunch with the CEO? And the CSG?
It's all a function of what he talks about.
Well, it's true, but again, it's like an hour and a half, and so I think he's going to throw it back out to us at some point to say, you know, what do you want to talk about? And so I'm just saying, let's be prepared for that. And if there are any things in particular folks want to raise, we can certainly flag them now. But if there aren't, if we want to wing it, then that's fine. I'm just going through the agenda item by item. Okay, it sounds like there isn't anything specific here. The next slot is the presentation on the FY14 budget process and the budget request process, which will be presented by the budget teams. Anything that people would like to raise on this? I think the staff is going to go through the process with us and try to help us understand what the process is and what is available to us and how we can make requests. And again, this is a new thing. In the past, we didn't have any opportunity to make any budget requests. It was only in the last year that we were able to make budget requests for the first time. So this is all new for not just the new members, but even for us old-timers, because staff has never before included us in the budget process. So this is a good step. Anything that people would like to provide input on this issue?
Can I come in on this? please, Robin, this is Alain.
Please.
Yeah, I just had an informal chat with Maria Farrell yesterday, and she's on your NCUC financial committee, and we toyed around the idea of just for those who are not informed, there's two envelopes for budget request this year. There is a fast track for activities that would need to be held in the second half of 2013. And the deadline for that is 22nd of March. And the overall budget is 200,000. And then there is a regular track for other budget requests that with a deadline of 19th of April. And the overall budget envelope for that is 500,000. So what I would like to submit as one of the stakeholders group decision, if we wanted to consider such a decision, is to take do a brainstorming on how much of that budget can the stakeholders group as a whole, including, stakeholders group objective budget items and constituency driven budget items, how much of that budget can we reasonably make a claim for? That's one suggestion. And the other suggestion is that we coordinate so that we would have a stakeholders group level request, and we would also have a constituency request, and that we shouldn't that we should think very hard about the possibility of coordinating this, and making a smaller number of requests as opposed to a larger number of requests. So, food for thought, and. Something that perhaps we can put on the agenda for our stakeholders group meeting in LA and for discussion today and between now and then.
Thanks, Alan. I agree and think it's important that we get some clarification from staff about what are the parameters for what we can request and, what would be the most helpful way of doing that. Anyone else that want to get in the queue on this? The budget process discussion?
This is Bill.
Yes, Bill.
Two things. One, I didn't really know that there was a concept of a coordinated submission in parallel with the constituency submission. It's interesting, and it's definitely something, we should talk about when we're on site. The other point, though, is that's our internal, what do we want to do? But they're also asking us to weigh in on how this is done. And do we have any kind of meta view? Now, one thing that some of us have been debating, for example, those of us who have been on various email threads, that some people, for example, suggest that instead of having constituencies coming and saying, please fund X and Y, and sort of implicitly competing for funds and perhaps having kind of malignant incentives, we should instead simply ask ICANN to have fixed allocations to each stakeholder group, which with each stakeholder group then deciding how it wants to divide it internally. And there was definitely a strong interest on the part of some people in NCUC that we would advocate something like that, or at least raise it with them. So we could do that. That would be a contribution to the meta. The question is whether anybody feels, on this call, feels that that's worth doing. I did suggest to one person who's pushing in particular that, if they want to raise, we can do it. But I just don't know what the view of people on the call is about it.
Thanks, Bill. I'm glad you raised that. I think that's actually an interesting way of framing the issue of saying, you know, what can we suggest to ICANN for its budget process? And maybe one thing that would be helpful is for them to tell us, give us sort of a fixed amount of what is available in the budget for the stakeholder group, each stakeholder group, and, you know, within the stakeholder group, they can certainly say, well, we're going to use this much this way and give constituencies this much that for these purposes. But to try to sort of turn it around and say, you know, get a – rather than ICANN approving various projects on a case-by-case and perhaps arbitrary and what might feel unfair manner to just say, you know, ICANN, we think the best way is for there to be a fixed amount – made available to the stakeholder groups and make it equal to between the stakeholder groups and you know, let us worry about what our priorities are, if we want to spend it on outreach or on publicity materials or on policy sessions, you know, within certainly acceptable parameters. We could come to some kind of agreement for how to go forward on that approach. So what do you guys think about that idea?
Can I respond to that?
Yes, please.
Yes, the I think this is a good idea, but that what I was thinking though is that if we there's not a lot of money there. In the sense that we can only claim if we have good projects a certain share of that amount of money, and if we actually coordinate well between ourselves, sorry, it's my phone ringing. If we coordinate at the stakeholders group level, then we don't have to come up with a whole bunch of projects and let them choose. We can make our own choices with at the proper funding level. And so that's also what I was aiming at, is to keep the if we only give them three projects that we want to do, then and it's a reasonable budget level, say maybe you know, $150,000 for which would be I don't know what I have no idea what would be a fair share of the funds, but we can take away the evaluation by just stating what our priorities are. And the second comment I would make is that I wouldn't want to I think we have to keep some budget for the constituencies. In other words, the constituency level funding, it's important for the constituency to maintain its personality and its independence. So that's what I have to contribute. I'm sorry about the telephone ringing here. Thank you.
No worries. Thank you so much, Elan. Any other thoughts on this? Sounds like we're in violent agreement. Okay. Let me move on to the next topic. Wrap-up session and initial pilot evaluation, reactions, capture to-dos, follow-up, et cetera. I don't know that there's anything that we necessarily need to prepare for that, the wrap-up session. Anyone disagree and want to discuss it? Okay, and then the next is the individual community wrap-up discussions, opportunity for individual communities to conduct wrap-up and follow-up discussions. And we've got an hour there, and breakout rooms are available as necessary. So we talked before about having somewhat of an NCSG discussion to go over some of the broader NCSG issues that we wanted to talk about, that would be a possibility for this time. Any other suggestions, or anyone dislike that idea? Want to use the time some way, some other way?
Somebody's breaking up very badly. I don't know if you can hear that. Can I just make a point, Robin, a kind of meta point?
Please.
One of the things we were discussing by mail was the overall sort of strategic orientation. A lot of the early discussion about this thing, this meeting, was sort of staff saying, well, you know, the House needs to get its act together and be not so much that the House has to be a House, like, you know, we're all going to be, you know, having marshmallows together and opening Christmas presents, but that that the interests that are gathered in this House are perhaps not as well positioned to collaborate and be effective as, say, the contracted parties. And so one of the topics was, of course, how, if at all, the non-commercial side of the House, quote-unquote, wants to view issues pertaining to its relationship with the House as a meta or with the CSG strategically, politically, and so on. And it's things like the simple point of the vice chair position was just one way into a larger set of questions there. And we have sort of dropped any discussion of whether we want to think about or deal with that in any particular way at this meeting. And I'm just wondering, do we want to just keep it that way? Do we just sort of go there and say, they're doing their thing, we're doing our thing, we're pursuing our priorities, and we're not concerned with how anything CSG is or is not doing? Or do we want to think about how we might interface with them, collaborate with them, or live peacefully alongside them more effectively? I just asked the general question.
Is there anyone who'd like to respond? But it seems like there's a possibility of maybe using some of that time to try to be constructive with CSG on some matters, if I understood that properly. Is there anyone who would like to comment on that? Everyone's wiped out. It's been a long meeting.
It's 3 hours. Who's on here? Yeah, who's on the call besides Alan and Klaus and me? Are there others still here?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I'm sorry. Was there somebody trying to get in the queue there?
Yeah, it was me. I just had to. I just
no,
had
that
to
was just me saying I was here.
I missed a question.
Okay.
I missed the question from Bill.
My question was just, do we want to think at all or have any kind of an orientation towards the questions of our relationship with the CSG and the House, because this is supposedly a meeting of the interest. If I say it's a meeting of the House, some people will say, no, the House is a bad thing. I don't mean to suggest that the House is some meta-organization that we all are committed to or something like that, but it is whatever kind of fictional entity or process or label it may be, we are going to be there alongside with the CSG, and this was one of the things that the staff showed initial interest in having some discussion of. So I'm just wondering, do we want to think at all about that, or do we want to just kind of go in there with our entirely freestanding agenda and just kind of say, hey, how you doing, when we when we see people from the other side?
Well, can I take a shot at this?
Please do.
Yeah, of course it would Bill, I think it would be in the spirit of this meeting. I don't know enough about prior inter-stakeholders group tensions and relations. So my comment is not educated by that. But I would say I sense that this would be the spirit of the meeting. We actually refused participation by the other side of the house. So presumably there should be some type of progress in inter-stakeholders relationship on the non-contracted side of the house. So if we don't have talks about it, nothing will. There will be no outcome, no positive outcome on that front.
Right. I mean, to belabor the point. I'm just trying to press previous conversations to their logical conclusion. There is a discussion about having a review of the GNSO. Well, there will be a review of the GNSO. There has been discussion about whether we think the house structure works. Would we want to even raise any of those kinds of questions? Or do we think that it's better just to leave that until the GNSO comes to it? I guess, my third attempt trying to get more precise, is that clearer, what I'm asking?
I think it is, but from my perspective, they're just not the big issues that I care about at the moment, that, you know, I feel like are the priority. And that's not to say that, you know, that they aren't important. And obviously, you know, the structure of the GNSO is important.
Hey,
it's
me, Klaus.
Yes.
Hi, do you have a visa for the U.S. which you could use travel on Sunday?
For the U.S., no, I don't have a visa.
Shit. Okay. We just got a seat for you to go to Los Angeles, but it just came up in the last 10 minutes.
Klaus, you're on the call.
Do you have anybody else who would use it to suggest, and who's got a
Klaus,
visa?
Klaus, can you please mute your line?
No. On such a short notice, no, it's not that I think of right now.
Okay,
sorry,
I'm sorry, Andre. Yeah. Really, really sorry. But we work it out with Beijing. Don't worry. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Klaus, you had a very nice conversation. We heard it all.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Who was speaking? Elan, was that you that was speaking before?
Yeah, I was asking Klaus to mute.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I mean, before that?
No. I
apologize.
No, that's fine. No.
I concluded by saying that if we don't attempt to some kind of exchange or discussion, there won't be any progress. So I don't know if we want that or not. I turn to the more experienced members of this group.
Well, you know, I can just say from my experience, and that's not to say that the structure of the GNSO and, you know, the smooth operations of the house aren't important. It's just when when we look at all of these other issues that we've talked about, the role of policy versus implementation, and the substantive issues, and you know, the role of DAC and influencing policy. I just don't see this one as being one of the ones that rises to the top of, you know, what I really want to focus on in this moment. But that's just me, and if others do, let's schedule a discussion on it. So, you know, I would be definitely interested in what others think. Doesn't sound like there's a lot of interest in discussing these. Am I misunderstanding? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think we're all ready to hang up.
Hi, this is Aubrey.
Yes, Aubrey.
I do believe there's value in discussing them. I'm just afraid that they're not the kind of things we know how to have a discussion on yet, even inside the stakeholder group, et cetera. You know, so I, I'm I'm not sure it's advisable, but I certainly think that it is very important to start forming views about what the various groups think of the future of the reorg that just went through. So I think that these are important, but I'm really afraid that voicing opinions would be taken as a bad thing. So I don't know if it's certainly good to get into while we're there, because we'll end up fighting among ourselves.
Yeah, might not be a place where we're have our own ducks in a row internally to have the larger discussion. We might get, you know, just completely picked off by the CSG if we did not really come to that discussion with our ducks in a row and having ourselves internally worked through a position. And so I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, can I just ask Robin, this is Bill again, just to finish this. It's certainly probably true that I think we would need to percolate any thoughts about the big picture in longer term before really engaging on them. But there are some short-term things. I mean, are we gonna try to raise the point that of what happened with the vice chair and get it to a resolution and have it be known that this is indicative of larger dynamics, or are we gonna just kind of pretend that all that's not going on and avoid it in order to, you know, maintain a certain atmosphere? I mean, it seems to me we're going to be there with them, and it seems to me that, you know, I don't know what the status of the ombudsman complaint is, but I would think we ought to at least seek to have that clarified.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the issue is with the ombudsman. He's working on a mediation, and I do expect that we will have some discussion with him, but I'm just not seeing it in this agenda. I'm just sort of imagining that, and I could be wrong, but I was just thinking that that might be something that, you know, the ombudsman pulls the NCSG and the CSG leaders together and says, okay, let's talk this through, as opposed to, you know, us as a group calling a meeting and saying, we want to talk this through, you know, which it kind of sounds like you're proposing, or unless I'm misunderstanding.
I was only asking what people thought about, because we talked about this for a long time.
I do think it is going to be discussed by the leaders and the ombudsman in LA, but I don't see it as being like a big agenda item issue. That particular issue, the chair issue. Now, your broader picture of, you know, the fact that we need to go to the ombudsman on these sorts of basic operational how to select a vice chair processes is problematic. And to what extent do we need to discuss that issue? I think that's maybe really what you're saying.
Yeah. If there's a space in the discussion, and maybe, who knows, Adi will ask us how we're all doing in some cheery, you know, kumbaya, presuming that the non-contracted party house is this big collective way. And I just don't know if we want to just sublimate any expressions of concern about the way things are, or we want to give voice to them should the situation arise. That's all. But if we're all too tired to think about this anymore, we don't have to press it.
Well, I think there are places in the agenda where we can bring up this issue in the ICANN stakeholder engagement dialogue. You know, how do we engage with each other? You know, we've got 2 hours for that on the first day. There might be a place for bringing that up there on some of the community needs discussions. I think you're right in the sense of we maybe should bring up this bigger picture issue of, you know, we really, I don't know about how, you know, how well do we work together and how can we try to facilitate this a little bit better. Where else might that go? The wrap-up session then, for the entire group, not the individual community wrap-up sessions, but the initial up there, if it didn't already get brought up.
earlier. So I think we can talk about that, and there are places for it without necessarily having a specific session dedicated to it. But I'm glad you brought it up. Anything else on this one?
I have a general question on most things, and I don't know when the right time to ask it is. This is Aubrey.
How about now? There's no better time than now.
Okay, my general question is, we're doing a lot of alignment around various themes, various positions, and such, and I think that's a good thing. I think we should know what the predominant views are in the constituencies and the stakeholder groups and make sure that those predominant views are put forward. I've also, though, gathered a certain amount of, I don't know, perhaps I'm hearing antipathy to the notion that anybody that disagrees predominant point of view should be able to express that point of view because it may not be collegial, it may not be the program, it may be seen as pissing all over people and stuff like that. So I'm wondering, to what degree are we there as unified front and not disagreeing with our groups, or are we indeed doing both, showing the predominant view and showing the open diversity of view, that we're not like the business community constituency in terms of speaking with one voice? And I'm just curious what the general view is on that.
Well, I can tell you what I think, and that's, you know, we've always been a very diverse group, and we've always had quite a diverse range of opinions, and I think that's always been one of our strengths, and I hope that that will continue to be one of our strengths. So, you know, you said would we be going, we could share as, you know, part in a unified voice, and then in part in a an alternative view. Voice, and I think that's probably the right approach, because to the extent that we are unified and do share goals and objectives, I think we absolutely should work together in a unified voice to achieve that, because that's the only way we're going to be able to get ahead of the CSG, who has no problem whatsoever acting in a unified voice, even when they do violently disagree with each other internally. Externally, it's all unified, and we haven't had that, and I'm, you know, to some extent okay with that, to where we disagree. But there are things where we do agree, and I hope we can be unified in those things that we do agree on while leaving room for for expressing differing and diverse viewpoints when in fact feel them. And so that's my own view on the situation, and I'm glad you asked that question and open it up to others to comment.
This is Bill. I think we all have different views on lots of things, and I'm sure we all will express them. The only thing I would say is that if we express them in ways that are look internally divisive and personal and so on, then that weakens us in a situation where we're across the table from a very unified force that's pushing hard for things we don't agree with. So I think generally it's good to take your to sort out the internal issues internally, and to have different views on substantive matters and so on. I don't think anybody, that's inherent in who we are.
Great, thank you. Any other views on this? Okay, not hearing any, and that being the last issue on the topical agenda for the LA meeting, we can, I think, move on with that, the discussion of the topical discussion, or going through the agenda. But there was opportunity for breakout sessions, and if anybody wanted to request some meeting space for breakout sessions, maybe individual constituencies or individual committees within constituencies or stakeholder groups, we can do that. And so I just wanted to make sure everyone realized that and got a request in if that's what they think they would like to do. Any thoughts on that? Okay, not hearing any, but if you folks know, it's available, should they desire. Is there any other business? Or we call this meeting to a close, 2 hours over schedule. Thank you so much for those who have stayed on the line.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Okay, bye-bye. See you somewhere, Angeles.
All right. Thank you all very much. And I guess we can stop the recording and call this meeting to a close. And see you all in L.A. next week. Thank you.